This episode is sponsored by Highlights. I love reading, and if you're listening to this, there's a good chance you do too. When it comes to inspiring the next generation of eager readers, Highlights magazines are a great place to start. I know I loved them when I was a kid. But now, Highlights has much, much more. They offer a variety of hands-on activities, puzzle book subscriptions, and even back-to-school essentials like backpacks, tees, and more. Plus, and this is something I appreciate as a smart shopper, Highlights runs regular promotions. Check out the sales section at highlights.com or visit our show notes for a link and enjoy an extra 15% off with the code FRUGAL15. That's FRUGAL15 for an extra 15% off at highlights.com. This is Frugal Living. How do you save money and stay healthy? Today's interview highlights the expertise from Kara, the dietitian from Cheesy Nutrition. She might just change the way you think about meal planning. That's what it did for me. After our conversation, my daughter was born, and I used that time between those two events to prep using a lot of the things that Kara and I talk about in this show. It changed everything about my first 2 weeks with my daughter. I didn't have to spend any time cooking in the kitchen. I already had meals prepared. So it was just warming stuff up and then eating good, healthy food that I prepped a month or so earlier. All of that came from this conversation that I had with Kara. I hope you get as much from it as I did. And really, I'm delighted to share it. Here it is.
I'm Kara, and I'm the cheesiest dietitian you might ever meet. And I love helping people learn the best way to plan and prep their meals.
Before we get into how you got into this, can you tell me a little bit about kitchen prep and meal prep?
Yeah. So my big thing is that people have this idea of what meal planning or meal prep is. And it's based on media. It's based on, no offense, but podcasts. It's based on Pinterest. It's based on Instagram and this kind of unnatural setting in a sense. And so what I bring to the table is we're looking at meal planning and meal prep as it's individual. It's just like nutrition, which is my background. It's just like how everybody's nutrient needs are different. Your meal planning and meal prep adventure, really, will be different than everybody else's. It might be similar in some ways, but in other ways, it's going to be different. And so when it comes to planning and prep, you got to take it off this pedestal and just bring it back down to start exactly where you are and build from there. And it will change over time.
I like that. It seems very realistic. And it sounds like the place you're coming from is I'm imagining Pinterest videos and Instagram videos of people with fully stocked, flawless looking freezers that are just, this would take me 3 weeks to put together this amount of food. And they seem to have it all labeled. Is that kind of what you mean, where we're coming from?
That is the pedestal. I mean, sure, it looks great, but it works for some people. I don't think that works for the masses. Even when it was just my husband and I, that didn't work for us. Do I prepackage some things like our lunches? Yes. But it doesn't look like, this perfect image of what most people think of when they think of meal prep.
What does it look like? What is the real version of this?
So again, it's different for everybody, but what we actually do is something that's worked for us for years. And now that our little guy is getting a little bit more into food, it still works right now. We'll see if that lasts. But in general, every week I end up prepping 3 different meals for dinners, 1 meal for lunches, because we don't care, and 1 type of breakfast. So, we have different fruits, we have different veggies, we have sometimes a different side, but in general, I'm making that. So 1 breakfast, 1 lunch, 3 dinners. That works for us. Some people that I work with are like, no, that's gross. I need a different lunch every day. And that's fine. So I help them work through that without it being overwhelming.
Perfect. And you're coming at this with kind of a science background. You've studied nutrition.
A lot, yes. Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize what it takes to be a dietitian. And there's a big difference between a dietitian and somebody who just considers themselves a nutritionist. So a nutritionist can do, as little as like a 1-day class online, print themselves a certificate and be like, hey, Instagram, I'm your nutrition person. And I'm not saying every nutritionist is like that at all. There are plenty who go through a lot of schooling, a lot of education, but you know, there's a big divide in a sense in education requirements for those two terms. And so I am a dietitian. So I have done at least the minimum. You can expect that with the bachelor's in a dietetics program. I've done the supervised practice, which is kind of like a residency. And then there's a national board exam. And then there's state licensure requirements that you have to do on top of that. So I have a lot of science background and a master's on top of all that. I'm coming at you not only to help with meal planning and meal prep, but how to incorporate health in that. Because when we're talking about saving money, sure, it's great right now to save money on food when you're at the grocery store, especially right now, it's terrible. But in general, we have to think long term. So we might save $20 this week, $20 next week, and that feels great. But when you get to be 40, 50, 60, and you're racking up all these medical conditions, that's where that extra cost savings can come in with meal planning, with health in mind.
I love that way of looking at things. When you think of long-term health benefits, insurance and health costs are astronomical. And it's one of the hardest questions to answer when someone says, you know, Jim, you're a frugal person. How do I save money on health insurance? You're not going to like the answer. This is how you do it. You eat well, you exercise, and it's years and years rather than when you want it most.
Yeah, it's not so much like, let me pull different quotes and pick the best one. I mean, it's the same with meal planning. And that's also why I say it changes over time. Because as we age, things change. And unfortunately, we usually need fewer calories every year, you know? And so as we age, we might not need as much. And as our family grows or kids go off to college, we've got to kind of adjust what we're doing. And so having the skills to plan and prep and knowing that there are alternative ways of doing so can really help you long term.
You talk about the pedestal of meal prep as, you know, kind of this flawless, pristine thing. When I think of the pedestal of frugal food, I think of people stocking up on lentils and ramen, and that's it. And I cry and I die a little inside. Can you tell me a little bit more of what's a better way for someone with a frugal mindset to make the most of their meal prep?
I had to laugh because I thought you were going somewhere great with the lentils, and then you threw in ramen.
Oh no, I'm with you. I love lentils. It's just that's kind of the community staple. That's our food.
Yeah, so there are tons of lower cost, healthier foods. And actually, to be honest, I really hate labeling things as healthy or unhealthy. There's so much gray area in nutrition. What's healthy for one person isn't healthy necessarily for another. Too much of a healthy food might be unhealthy, you know. So healthy is a bad word, in my opinion, for me to use. So I'm not going to try to use it too much. But when it comes to trying to make budget-friendly choices, one of the best ways, it's going to sound kind of weird, but it's really just planning. Because if you have a plan, you know what you need, you know what you use regularly, you can stock up. We don't want to stop up. Lentils help with that. But if we're going to be stocking up on our staple foods, because we know what those are, and we're choosing things that might be a little bit better for us, we can really, really, really try to do that when they're at their lowest price point. So, I mean, pandemic hit a couple of years ago. In case you didn't know, I just wanted to let you know. So the food prices have steadily been going up, right? Even things that were typically really low cost, like our dried beans and our dried grains, even lentils, you know, those things have continued to go up and up and up. And our paycheck doesn't necessarily go up and up and up with it. So really keeping an eye on sales, really keeping an eye on what is actually a sale versus just fancy marketing is a big thing when it comes to meal prep and planning. Because in all honesty, some things, if you look at an ad, make it look like it's really on sale, but really they're just highlighting a product.
I'm with you there. Yeah. Keeping track of like historical prices is key, mm-hmm. not just in food, but in everything.
Yeah. And it can seem really overwhelming when you're like, well, I don't want to track all this. You don't have to. You just pick some of your main staples. You know, so at our house, we use a lot of canned tomatoes. And we use a lot of brown rice. And we use a lot of dried beans. So I know what those cost. Oh, and flour. Oh my gosh, we buy flour. We make all of our own bread, and I've gotten into sourdough in the last few months, almost a year now. So I definitely buy a lot of flour.
Understand. Yeah, that's, I mean, a good investment. That was also hard to get, though, in a lot of places at the start of the pandemic.
Yeah, it was. And thankfully, we've always been buying it, you know, when it goes real cheap. So we had a good bit to make it through. But where we really lost out was the yeast. And I wasn't into sourdough at that point. So it was like, oh, no, what are we going to do for bread? We haven't bought store-bought bread in like 2-3 years.
That's amazing.
So bad. Yeah. So anyways, yeast was my difficult one.
It sounds like you kind of advocate for, obviously, you plan in advance things that are variety, things that you like and that you know you'll eat, but you're also allowing the store where you're shopping to have a bit of an influence on that as well. When they have a sale, you let that influence and guide your plan for the next week or two. Is that right?
In a sense. So my husband and I mainly do an 8-week meal plan. So it doesn't mean every 8 weeks we eat the same things. It just means we plan for 8 weeks out. And what we do is we actually bulk buy all of our proteins because they are usually your most expensive item. So we bulk buy those. I do a style of prep. I don't know if you caught this on my Instagram, but I've created my own style of prep called component prepping. So what we do is we have our plan. So, you know, we list out all the things we're going to eat over the next 8 weeks. Somewhat flexible because, you know, you never know what's going to happen. But we have our list. We buy those proteins. We prep the things we can. It might be grains. It might be the protein. Sometimes it's even if onions were really cheap, I might go ahead and prep those, you know. And then what we do is we freeze all those things. So everything's prepackaged in a sense, but it's packaged by me and it's labeled, it's ready to go. And then the week before we're going to eat it on Sunday is when I pull that out. Sometimes I just have to defrost something and sometimes I have to mix everything together and then bake it or whatever we're doing with it, putting it in a soup pot. I don't know. And so, yeah, that's kind of how the store can dictate us in a sense, because if they don't have it at that on that shopping trip, we're not going to have it.
Sure.
But, you know, we really do plan out for that 8 weeks. So when we're buying stuff weekly, it's really just fresh stuff. The occasional item we might run out of, you know, canned tomatoes or pesto if I feel like being crafty on pizza night.
The Instagram prep person would say, well, I buy the stuff to make pesto. But, you know, you don't have to make it all the time. You don't have to make everything from scratch. You're already doing a lot of the work with getting the components ready. In my experience, that's the bulk of the work, is getting these things started.
Right. Well, and actually, I was talking with somebody this morning about how that getting started, it, you know, they kind of talk about it with exercise, you know, oh, if you don't feel like working out, just do one thing. And that will kind of lead you down this, I guess, slippery slope in a sense, but it will lead you towards finishing your workout or at least doing something, right? Well, it's the same with meal prep. If you think it's this big, overwhelming thing, just try one thing. You know, instead of making meals, why don't you prep your snacks? They're done, you know, or if breakfast is always skipped because you're so busy, then make some little like your own instant oatmeal packets or just buy instant oatmeal packets. Try to do the plain ones if you can. Maybe put some little nuts in a baggie. Heck, even put a little bit of brown sugar if that'll get you to eat it. And then put it together when you get to work.
I like that a lot. Do you have an example of component prep starting places for like an easy lunch?
Yeah. So I think one of the things to think about is the protein. And I mean, I hate to say it, but in the US, we're very protein focused. So if you can think of a couple of proteins that you really like, just next time you're going to make them, make some extra, put them in little individual baggies, whether it's snack size or sandwich, depending on how much you eat, or if you're making it for more than one person, put those proteins in your freezer friendly bags and then put them in the freezer. So then a day or two before you need them, just put them in the fridge. And then, you know, you could dump it into a salad if it's chicken, or one of my favorites is little taco meat baggies. So I put them in sandwich baggies that are not freezer friendly ones, but then I like roll them up and I put multiples in either a quart or a gallon Ziploc bag. So that all I have to do is grab one out. And then usually it's enough for little man and I. So then we have a quick lunch of either tacos, quesadillas, taco salad, nachos. I mean, you name it, like anything you would use taco meat for.
That's fantastic. So are you pre-cooking the taco meat before you freeze it?
Yes.
So you're doing basically all the work before it's going in your freezer.
Right. And that's something I really work with my clients on, is where can we save you the most time?
One of the biggest benefits is you're prepping all of this, let's say the taco meat, for example, all of it at once. So you're not prepping, 100 different meals. You're prepping for a bunch of them at once and then bagging them up.
Yes.
And then you just have to reheat.
I know. It seems like the simplest idea, but every time I work with somebody, they're like, Kara, why didn't I think of this? Like, that's okay. You don't have to. That's why I'm here. You know, it's not like you call a plumber and you're mad that you had to call them because it was just one simple pipe replacement. Like, no, you don't want to do that. So you call the specialist when you,
sure.
when you want help, right?
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm a new homeowner. I get annoyed when I have to call a plumber, but I learn something when I call a plumber every
right.
time.
Right. And so the same thing with meal prep. So you don't have to pay me every time you have a question. You know, you pay me right. once, you learn the skills, you have the skills, and then you have me there if you have a question, if you hit a roadblock, if you have a challenge, you know. And one of the biggest populations that I've sort of inadvertently ended up working with are soon to be moms. So these are families who might be their first kid, it might be their fifth, who knows, but they want to have food ready when they're, you know, home with this newborn. And they're like, I don't want to eat a whole bunch of crock pot mush and lasagna for 6 weeks. And I'm like, I don't blame you. I didn't either. You know, so it's really about just finding a way that works for you, that'll save you the most time. And that's really what I aim to do. And that's different for everybody, you know? So somebody looking at my Instagram might be like, oh, that's great, but that wouldn't work for me. That's fine. Meal prep will work for you in some way. And especially with component prep.
I love the idea that you can do your 8 weeks out and you're prepping that early. Like, you really have, 2 full months of meals ready. And if you don't want to do it, you know, if you're tired of it one night, you can take a break. They're in your freezer.
Right.
I love what you're working on here. Can you give us more tips? Anything you want to share, I want to hear.
All the free things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So one of the things that you just mentioned is that, like, well, if you get tired of it, and one of the biggest complaints I hear from people before they're a client of mine, then they were like, oh, that was a stupid complaint to make, is I don't like leftovers. Huge complaint. I hear it all the time. Okay. It's very easy to combat, especially with component prep, because yes, you are prepping some things ahead, you know, so we do cook some of our chicken breast, you know, some of it we don't, if we have a specific intention for it, you know, but the taco meat, ground meat in general, is one where you can prep ahead, because very unlikely you're just going to be eating it on a spoon. Right. I mean, if you are, that's fine. You know, my almost 15-month-old will do that, but most likely you're not. So you're going to put it in a soup. You're going to put it in a sauce. You're going to have it in a quesadilla, a wrap, a bowl of some kind. You won't notice. You really won't. And if you do, it's because you made it yourself and your brain is trying to tell you that it's a leftover. Okay. So when you don't like leftovers, component prep is perfect, because you're prepping it the way you need it to be prepped. So like I said, ground meat is one hardly anybody notices. But if you want to saute onions and freeze those and use them later, you might notice a difference. So it's all about, what are you okay with eating? And then how can you prep the things that you are okay eating ahead in larger quantities, so that they're ready for you on a rotating basis.
What doesn't freeze well?
Well, again, it kind of depends on you, but some of the basics are, you don't want to freeze like a whole raw potato. That's one where it'll just end up kind of like the texture's really gritty and there's a lot of extra water So that one's not a good one. You don't want to freeze whole eggs. So I know eggs are really expensive right now. And like, I'm worried that they're going to go up more and we eat a lot of eggs. So, you know, it's kind of one of those where if you're going to buy them ahead, you need to either figure out a way to cook them or you can crack them and freeze them raw, but you don't want to freeze them in the shell. And then cream-based sauces, they will separate. You can eat them. They're not inedible. But if you're somebody who doesn't like leftovers or isn't willing to just eat whatever just because it's edible, then, I mean, I sometimes am. I'm like, okay, don't throw that out. I'll eat that. It may look like crap, but it'll be fine.
I'm with you. I like that.
But my husband, on the other hand, will be like, no, thanks. You can eat mine tomorrow. That's a really great component prep idea. When you have those leftovers from people who are like, oh, I'm not eating the leftovers, chop it up, put it in a little freezer baggie, roll it up if you need to put it in your bigger freezer baggie of like extra leftovers. And then when you guys are doing quesadillas next time, or if you're making fajitas, or if you're doing an Italian something that needs like some shredded chicken or chicken salad, get it out and toss it in there because nobody gonna know.
Right. Perfect. Yeah. Good advice. To make sure we get people who are interested in this kind of advice more specifically for their own lives, where can they find you?
Instagram is really the easiest. I check it every day, most days. Sometimes I take Tuesdays off. Don't ask me why Tuesday. That's what happened. Sometimes I take Tuesdays off, but otherwise I'm on Instagram every day. So Cheesy Nutrition. I do have a website. I do sometimes get the contact me emails, and that's fine too, but I am on Instagram every day. Quickest, easiest way to get to me.
Is there any other parting thoughts you wanted to share? Like any other bits of advice you want to make sure are out there?
Yeah. So you had asked about making sure that there is variety with meal plans. And I got so excited when I saw that question.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So one thing that people kind of think of when they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this meal planning and do some meal prep and all this great stuff. And they get all gung ho about it. And it's like anything in the nutrition world, like there's either 100% or there's basically like 2%, you know, kind of how I view how people deal with nutrition stuff, but they go 100%. They're like, I'm going to get all these healthy recipes. I'm going to eat all this great stuff. And then all of a sudden their usual, you know, 1 to 2 hours of cooking turns into a monster. I'm not going to list a number of hours, but it turns into this big event. They've got dishes coming out their ears. It's, you know, all over the kitchen. It's taken over the dining room table. Stuff is on the floor. You don't know how it got there. And it's because it's like you thought it was this huge thing. So when it comes to variety, it's not so much about picking a bunch of new recipes. It's about knowing what your family already likes, looking for similar ingredients, preferably on sale ones, choosing those for this week or for this meal cycle, and then just making sure that there's a variety of flavors. You know, so I know I mentioned a lot of Mexican things. That's just because what we're having tonight. So it's on my mind. But you know, when it comes to picking like, okay, we've got taco meat in the freezer. Great. Let's not do that for 3 meals this week, unless that's what you want.
And I think that goes back to your component prep as well. You know, it's not about, you don't make lasagna for 2 months straight.
No.
You prepare your protein, you prepare the things you're going to mix in, and you don't mix them until the day of, it sounds like.
Yeah, pretty much. We do prep a little bit ahead, like on Sundays, if we're making like a casserole type thing. I'll go ahead and make that on Sunday, especially if it's lunch. So I always try to have lunches done on Sundays because I don't want to have to worry about it in case the week is really busy. But dinners, sometimes we make fresh that night. Sometimes I kind of prep ahead on Sunday. It just depends. So like tacos, I don't go ahead and prep every vegetable ahead because if we were going to have it Monday, but then we're like, oh, you know what? Let's have spaghetti instead. It's an easy pivot. But if I already had all the veggies chopped, they might be a little bit iffy by the time we use them. You know, so lettuce kind of can get a little bit slimy if it's shredded and put together. The tomatoes get kind of weird. But if I have everything kind of ready, but not all the little details, it tends to work out better in terms of flexibility.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of advice I expect from a dietitian.
Oh, good.
Real advice that's actually practical and useful, that doesn't expect my refrigerator to look like it's going on Pinterest tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll post like little videos or pictures of my fridge just to be like, guys, it doesn't have to look like this perfect photo shoot, you know?
Oh, I like that a lot. I saw one of your Instagram posts and it looks like a real refrigerator from a real person, but it also looks organized. Like, I'm also jealous of the organization. So,
I mean, it depending on what the purpose of the post is, if I'm trying to show off something specific, you know, I might rearrange a little. But I'm going to be honest, we just got back from a trip to my parents and they gave us a whole bunch of snacks. And so when I got home, I was like, you know, I don't feel like really putting this like away because it was more than what I had room for. So right now I was like, oh, please don't ask for, you know, a video of what my pantry looks like right now, because I've got like some random snacks all over, like the freeze-dried fruits in the wrong spot, but I didn't have room for it in the normal spot. And I'm not going to lie, they gave us some Pringles. And so those are kind of shoved in there because we don't normally have them. And so, yeah, it's a real pantry, but it still has organization at its core.
That's fantastic. And, you know, this is an audio medium. Just tell our listeners that it is perfect. We'll believe you.
Oh, yeah. My pantry is always 100% organized and perfect.
Amazing. Well, again, thank you for making time to chat. It's been a joy having you on the podcast. And I'm sure we will link to, obviously, your Instagram on the blog when it comes out. But people can find you on Instagram on every day except for Tuesday, when they can still find you. You just won't be active on that day.
Yeah. Well, and I probably usually end up checking it at least a couple of times, but I'm not intentionally on Instagram every Tuesday.
Listeners, you leave her alone on Tuesday.
Leave me alone.
Frugal Living is sponsored by Brad's Deals. I've worked at Brad's Deals for more than 5 years, and I can't think of a more talented group of people who hunt deals professionally for a living. Check out Brad's Deals for the best deals online, whether you're shopping for stuff like what we talked about in this episode at the store, or stuff to improve your backyard or your home. You can find it here at Brad's Deals, with new deals every day sourced by real people. Thanks to this week's guest, Kara Holton, for sharing so much information. Want to see some of my own recipes? Check out Frugal Living Pod on TikTok to see my spanakopita recipe and my recipe for granola. We'll also have those at Frugal FM. And then while you're waiting for the meal to bake, please leave us a review on iTunes. Thanks again for listening.